Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The Big 12 College Basketball Opening Lines Preview and Picks Edition for Saturday, February the 24th on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Game Time, your lowest price last minute tickets. Download the Game Time app today and use that promo code SGPN for $20 off. And we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Sign up today using promo code SGPN and then go over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/dog to enter a bonus contest today. 5 winners will receive shirts, hats, and a $50 SGPN gift card. And we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, a sports betting research platform for parlays, props, game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use that promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. Everybody to the Big 12 College Experience, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Friday, February the 23rd. Man, we only got 3 weeks till Selection Sunday. But hey, we're here for the action. Another loaded Saturday in the best conference in the damn land, a.k.a. the Big 12. If you're wondering who you're listening to, I am Moneyline Mac, a.k.a. the former video coordinator for Bob Huggins and Frank Martin. And we're talking Big 12 hoops, which means we're joined by... Well, this guy's a walking contradiction because he was born in Provo, Utah. He's got family in Ames, Iowa, and he lives in Morgantown, West Virginia. Co-host of the Ryan and Rush Show, Rambling Rush. What is up, Rush?
Nice day outside that time of year. Good time to throw on the old Belichick cutoff and you know, remember to the coach. Hopefully he's coaching again with us here soon.
R.I.P.
it's like we're talking like I'm actually looking forward to it. I haven't seen that Apple documentary out on the team. But anyway, we're here to talk Big 12 basketball. Hey, we're getting to the fun time of the year. Ready for some spoiling. Got the nice solid 10-point win on Tuesday night. So Chad G made some money. So it's good to see everyone happy.
It was. How about the Mountaineers getting?
How about the Mountaineers?
Monday was a fucking bullshit night. We'll talk about that here. Hey, third man in the box. You guys know him as a 6-Zin champion, also known as the Big 12 guru because he's always fighting a family civil war, whether in Norman, Stillwater, hello Bedlam tomorrow on the hardwood, Waco, Fort Worth. He is Troy Tuning, aka the green mowing, weed growing. What is up, man?
Bedlam on the hardwood, and it doesn't really mean much, so that could be a rough one.
It's the final one.
They'll play non-con.
Wish there was more implications. Oh, I'm sure they'll play non-con in basketball way sooner.
Yeah.
But, man, starting off big tomorrow's slate right at noon, just getting right into the biggest game of the day. But,
yeah
Monday was bullshit. we're just going to pretend like Monday didn't happen at all. Yeah. At least Dylan Dessou went off. I was kind of all over his props in that game. But, man, not a good Monday. Oklahoma State kind of comes out on the short end, but they're able to cover on our simulated line of, you know, if it's over 10, go ahead and take the points with Oklahoma State. Yep. That was nice. It was right at 10 and a half. So got to count that one. But yeah, big day on Saturday. Yeah, Iowa State's really in a good spot here. Kind of can see the tip of the Baylor-Houston game and see how things are going maybe a little bit.
I didn't even think about that angle. We'll talk about that game. But yeah, Troy teased it. The best game in the country tomorrow is in the Big 12, and it's Baylor-Houston, 12 o'clock Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, and down there in Waco, and it's on CBS. So I like CBS's production better than ESPN. So
way better. I'm glad they have March Madness.
Yeah, I honestly like FS1 and Fox better. I hate ESPN. I think their product fucking blows. But they ain't going anywhere, so we're going to have to keep watching the games. to recap the week, Houston and Texas got in the win column on Monday. Both should have covered. Neither covered because they both sold out in the last minute. And Iowa State definitely played for the backdoor spread because who takes a layup down 10 with 10 seconds and then doesn't foul? So that's
doesn't foul. Yeah.
fucking bullshit, man. yeah, some of these teams, you can't tell me they don't know the number. Texas, they were up double digits. They were up 12 with 3 minutes, but then K-State made some fucking I think Kaluma made a 4-point play that backdoored that spread. On Tuesday, the Mountaineers, wire to wire, honestly just dominated UCF. They were the better team from the start. We were on that as our money line dog. Also on Tuesday was this game was great. Fucking TCU and Texas Tech. This game was wire to wire. TCU was actually the better team. Led for about 36, 37 minutes, but Texas Tech does what they do. They storm back, make a hell of a comeback. Texas Tech's got the magic there in Lubbock. Also on Tuesday night, we had, where is it? The game in Provo. BYU was Baylor. able to outlast Baylor. They pulled away late, so big win for the BYU Cougs. And that gets us to Wednesday, where all three of us said Oklahoma State was going to be live at Cincinnati. And for the league, this sucked. I was rooting for Oklahoma State for our bet, but I was hoping Cincinnati would find a way to fucking win. That's a dagger for Cincinnati's resume. Rush,
Thoughts
on a new week in the Big 12. Cincinnati's killer loss. Killer loss.
It was a killer loss, and that's the loss that's probably going to make them NIT bound. I was big on this Cincinnati team, and I mean, I still think they're a decent team that's outperformed what they should have performed this year. And like I said, if they were able to hold it down, I mean, I know they lost to West Virginia, but watching that game more closely and kind of seeing what they're capable of, they're a solid team. And I always thought from the start, if they were able to sneak into March, that they could have been that like 11 seed play-in game that goes on the run. But you got to beat Oklahoma State, especially when it's at Cincinnati. Like that's an inexcusable loss. So they're definitely NIT bound, looking like the Big 12 is only going to have 9 teams in, which I mean, it is probably right. But if you really think about it, if they weren't so like, oh, we have the automatic bids and then, you know, we got to mix it up, get a couple of these other schools in. I mean, I still believe the Big 12 is, if you're literally going to take it a 10-11, I still think our 10-11 is better than other conferences, 3-4-5 teams, like by far. It's just, we're the league of the middle class, whether football or basketball, and we just all beat each other up. So people who don't follow the Big 12 as closely as we do and really understand everything that goes into it. And this is speaking of ESPN and the ESPN guys. I mean, Jay Billis, those guys don't even understand how, like, you have people going to like BYU and the Marriott Center and didn't realize what a type of environment that was. And we were talking about it here for forever. I mean, we used to talk about it in high school, Ryan, and we understood it. And unfortunately, when you don't have that mainstream pool, you come to find it comes March. And I would still take Cincinnati over like a Pitt in the ACC by far. Yeah. But yeah, like, or, you know, any other kind of borderline ACC Big Ten team, but unfortunately they want to mix it up.
I was going to say, if Cincinnati's team this year is playing in a mid-major conference, do we think that they get a bid?
Probably. They've kind of hit a wall here in the Big 12. I was afraid that they may go through this. BYU's going through the same thing, but BYU has such inflated computer numbers that they're able to survive and go .500 in Big 12 play. So, but I mean, that's the nature of the beast. Houston has done a good job surviving it. But if you look at their rosters, man, Houston looks like a Big 12 team. They got the transfer LJ Crier to pair with Sheed. Kelvin Sampson's coach in this league. They look the part of a Big 12 team. And that's why they're sitting at first at 10-3. Although I think we all agree they do have a couple losses left on their schedule. Iowa State solo place, second place, that is, at 9-4. They have the easiest remaining schedule, so they just need one Houston loss, and they will be right back in the driver's seat to control their destiny. Three-way tie at 8-5, Baylor, Tech, and Kansas, all at 8-5, like I said. BYU and TCU, 7-6, that's about right. Texas, Oklahoma, 6-7, that's about right. And Cincinnati and K-State are alone at 5-8, and then you got a three-way tie at the bottom. The Mountaineers, the Cowboys, and the Shiny Knights. So everybody's got four wins now. Everybody's played 13 games. There are no more bye weeks. And let's get right into the game. But before we get into that Houston and Baylor game,
get to our picks.
Yeah, fucking pick up your mom, those bitches in the chat. We're brought to you by Game Time. Game Time. If you want buying tickets to your lowest event, they shouldn't be stressful. Flash deals and last minute tickets. Forget planning in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Get images of your seats where you know where you're buying exactly, so you know exactly where you're going to sit and you're not behind the damn pole. Shout out to Campus Tour. He's always tweeting out that photo of the obstructive view.
That's
you don't
got
to worry about that with Game Time. So get over there, snag the tickets without stress. Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use code SGPN, $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem code SGPN for $20 off. Download the Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And we're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy, because you have a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NBA, NHL, soccer, college hoops. Simply pick higher, lower on your favorite fantasy stats and cash in. Troy Tuning, the guru of Underdog. What do we got cooking up here? I know the lines are limited this early.
It's okay, because we've got it cooking in the game we're about to go right into, I believe. We've got the revenge angle here. LJ Crier going higher than 2.5 three-pointers made. He was real cold last game they played. And Jaden Nunn has been playing pretty well for Baylor. And I saw his higher lower was at 1.5 threes. So we're going higher on that as well. And they're both spicy. So it's almost 4-1.
Spicy, 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 baby. Get over there. SGPN is teaming up with Underdog to give an even more bonus. Sign up between now and the end of the month, which we got a week left, and you got five winners will receive an Underdog hat, Underdog shirt, and a $50 SGPN gift card. Sign up today, promo code TCESGPN, and then go over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/dog to enter the contest for your chance to win. And when you use the sign up code, promo code TCESGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. Underdog Fantasy, promo code TCESGPN. All righty, we are back. Let's fucking talk some fucking hoops, baby. Let's get right into the game.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy? Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I mean, you don't got to wait long here. The noon slate sucks tomorrow. But this, I'm glad it sucks so that I can really dial in on this one because I actually have to do something from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. So this game will be on the phone for the first half, and then it'll be coming in hot for the second half. Don't worry, I'll get my mega graphic out before 11 a.m. before I got to handle my commitment at 11. I'll only have 75 locks tomorrow, I think. There's a lot of games tomorrow. Houston's going to Baylor. We talked about it. Houston holds a one-game lead over Iowa State. Houston is coming off the big Monday win. They survived. They actually got out-rebounded in that game. This is the first matchup between these two that Troy hinted at it. This is the return game for LJ Cryer. And I'm fading Houston. We've seen UConn go down on the road. We've seen Purdue go down on the road. And every time, honestly, outside of one game for Houston, when they've hit the road to take on a traditional Big 12 team, they've lost. Iowa State, they lost. At TCU, they lost. At Kansas, they lost. The only one they got away with was Texas. They were able to win in Provo and Cincinnati, but those are newcomers to this league. I think it's a little bit of a letdown and a hard spot for them. I think it's – I like to fade the team that has a return – player going to play his former team as well. I trust those Baylor guards to make shots and Scott Drew to find a way to grind it out in that building. That place is going to be on fire. And I think they're going to be able to keep Houston off the glass and limit their second chance points. Give me the Bears. I think they win the game outright. Let's go. Sick them.
Yeah, I don't know if Shedd is going to be able to shoot the basketball as well as he did in the last game that kind of saved him against Iowa State with, you know, going off, what do you have, 26, 28 points or something like that.
Yep.
I don't know if he'll be able to shoot the ball as well, but Baylor does kind of play slow, and the mistakes that Baylor makes plays right into what Houston kind of wants to force teams to do. So this is really one that I don't have a ton of conviction on it. I want to lay the points with Houston because I think they know they can win the Big 12 in their first year, and that's probably important to them. But going on the road, they've had so many issues. I think – no, you know what? I am going to lay it with Houston. I'm going to stay with Houston.
Come on. You know you want to take Baylor.
He's reverse jinxing himself. He knows what he's doing.
I want Baylor to win this game. I just think that Houston is – slightly better, and they finally get a chance to prove it. And with all the other BS that's going to go on around the nation, this could go a long way to being like the number one overall seed, maybe.
I go ahead, Rush, give your handicap. I think we need to have a realistic conversation why Houston is not talked about with UConn and Purdue. But first, go ahead, Rush.
Well, I've said it multiple times. I think Houston's winning the national championship. I think this Big 12 bump is what does it for them. We talk about the revenge angle for LJ Cryer, right? But he's the one that left Baylor. What about Baylor's revenge angle in their new gym? Dude, I love Baylor in this game. I think this is Houston's last loss before they take off. I really do. I think this is going to be one of the humbling losses. No, maybe they lose one more in Big 12 play or tournament play and then, you know, get right. But I really, really like Baylor in this game a lot beyond the plus 2.5. I'm with you, Ryan. I think Baylor wins this game. And so does Kennedy. So this is stacking up well for Troy. He's reverse jinxing it on his side. Everyone else picks Baylor. Get the confidence going in there. Let's go, Troy. Sick him, baby.
Smart man. I had to take one for the team.
There you go. You know what you're doing.
Yeah. Well done, Troy, and shout out to Ronald in the chat. He's from Waco. They're gonna let Cryer have it. I mean, he left to go in league.
That's what I'm saying. It's Baylor's revenge over LJ.
Sometimes that backfires though. If he comes out and he doesn't make one of his first few shots, you might as well just stay completely silent and just don't poke the bear.
I want to circle back though to the conversation. The topic. I don't understand this national narrative that Houston, like it's UConn and Purdue 1-2, and nobody's close. I don't know how the fuck that's the case. When you look at the actual resumes, mm-hmm. Houston 9-3 versus quad and one, Purdue 9-3, UConn 9-3. In quad two, Houston's 2-0. Houston's actually number one in the net. Houston's number one on KenPom. I think Houston's even, I don't know if they are they number one on Bartorvik too. Either way, I mean, shot quality, Houston's number one. Yeah, they're number one across the board. I don't understand how they're not considered for the number one overall seed. They play in the best league in America, and their only losses are at the Fog, in Hilton, and at TCU, two of which were one-possession games. And, yes, Richie Rich, they did get beat down at the Fog. UConn lost at the fucking Fog, too. So and they got fucking blown the fuck out in Omaha. And Purdue got blown the fuck out at Nebraska. I don't know. Am I crazy, Rush,
for thinking? No, you're not. But maybe that's the way. Maybe that's the way Houston wants it. Maybe it's good. It's not a bad thing to go a little under the radar. So, and the thing is, with UConn this year, they have expectations. We talked about it last year. You said it. UConn. One of the reasons it kind of went through is they went under the radar. So in a way, you're giving Houston that same advantage there. Purdue, you know, we've heard Purdue hyped up for a bit. Maybe it's that Virginia angle where you lose to a 16 seed and you know, then you win it next year. But that's only obviously happened once. Well, I mean, we'll see if it happens this year. But I feel like Purdue's also talked about every year. And, like, they're just always – and then they get to it, and it's like, well, where's Purdue? So –
Purdue can finally shoot the basketball, but when things get tough, they still resort to their "we're going to dump it to Zach Edey every fucking time, no matter what." And that kind of plays into the defense that a lot of teams would rather you take 2-point shots than 3-point shots. Like, they're stressing running people off the line. When it comes to guard play and running people off the 3-point line, the best team in the country is Houston. Nobody's doing it like them. The athleticism they have and how deep they are and all that, like, they are prime March basketball team, and they're already pretty good in these regular season games and all that. But when you got to play, you know, every other game or every other day for a weekend, there's not going to be too many teams that can run up and down the floor, turn around and play after a day of rest against Houston and be able to do much. They're going to be a tough out. I mean, the way they're going to lose in the tournament is, you know, 53-50 or something like that. And in a game where they go 4 of 23 from the 3-point line or something where they're desperate. But man, I just don't see how teams are going to consistently score against them.
Yeah. It's for them to lose, it's going to have to be one of those bullshit nights where the other team just makes everything. Maybe like an Arizona or Auburn or Alabama where they just make a shitload of fucking threes and Houston just can't match it. But it's going to like Miami did last year, where whatever Miami threw up against him fucking found the net. That's the only way I could see a team. I actually like them matched up against Connecticut and Purdue because they don't do that. And I think that they could punk their guards with their backcourt. So we'll talk about it. We probably won't even ever get that hypothetical matchup because the tournament never goes chalk. But the bottom line, Houston should be in that conversation. I just read off the resumes. They all have three losses. They all have lost three losses on the road. Houston has better numbers, but for some reason, they're not sexy, so nobody talks about them.
But that's good. I think it's good for Houston. Because, I mean, they were pumped last year with Jim Nance doing his last year of the tournament, too, and I think people wanted to see that. So, you know, Big 12 this year, go a little under the radar. That might be the winning formula.
We need them to lose in the semis of the Big 12 tournament because they'll be hyped as fuck if they win the Big 12 tournament, like Texas.
Yeah, so that's a good call.
We need them to go to Baylor because they remind me of the Baylor team, Troy, that won it all with those guards and the toughness in the front court and the physicality. I hope that they can lose in the semis like Baylor did to Oklahoma State and then, boom, take off from there.
I mean, if the Houston guards get hot, nobody's beating them. If they shoot the ball well, it's the, like, you know, the only way you can beat them is if you shoot the ball the most efficient that you ever have. Well, if for some reason Houston plays anywhere near efficient, especially from long distance, you're screwed. The game's over. You have no chance. So in any game where, like, LJ Cryer plays well along with Shed, the game's pretty much over. Those guys are going to dominate you on both sides of the ball. It's crazy. I would even hear arguments that they're better than Purdue and UConn.
Robert asked, what are the odds? I think they're plus 750 right now. They're behind UConn and Purdue. So, all right, let's get in the next game. This one's going to be interesting. These two teams just played two weeks ago. BYU, the Super Soakers, headed to K-State. This is a early tip, 2 Eastern. This is going to be, 12 Mountain Time, 1 mm-hmm. o'clock Central Time. Mm-hmm. BYU's off a big home win. That's an automatic fade for me. I'm not taking BYU on the road ever. I think they're baiting you with this 1.5. Everybody thinks K-State may be a little bit dead, but I think they will pop off for one more game. They've lost 3 in a row, but they've been competitive. I think with the rest advantage here, K-State gets this done at home in the Little Apple, and they knock off BYU, who just has not been good on the road. Simple as that. Their only wins are against who? West Virginia and UCF?
Yes.
Yeah.
Had the Texas Tech chance, but totally blew that second half.
K-State.
Yeah.
This is small yapper money line all the way, right? Yeah. If you're going to take the 1.5 points, it might as well play the money line as well. I think I am going to take the 1.5 with K-State at home. I think this is a very typical Big 12 run into a wall spot. Big win over Baylor, shoot the ball really well, go on the road, do a hostile octagon of doom. You know, 2 or 3 shots don't go down against Baylor. You might lose that one. Well, 2 or 3 shots are probably not going to go down the same way they did at home here in Manhattan. I'll take the points, but I'm probably playing this one K-State outright as well.
Let's go. Rush.
So it's actually been a very good season for BYU to this first year in the Big 12. They win the rest of their home games. They have TCU and I think Oklahoma State to end the season. They'll finish 500 in the Big 12, which is huge. But I know BYU basketball and BYU athletics is pretty well growing up with them. Just when you think, we might be able to get above 500, this is the game where they just don't. Things are too good right now for BYU, so now you got to settle it back. Kansas State wins this game. They got that double road trip out in Kansas. I think it's kind of chalky the rest of the season that plays out for BYU. If they're on the road, take the other team. If they're at home, take BYU. And I think they'll finish 9-9 in the Big 12, which is fantastic. I mean, honestly, good job for them. Their first year in the Big 12, finishing 500 there. But Kansas State wins this game. Unfortunately, things are too good right now for BYU. They can't sustain this.
I agree.
Let's see what Kennedy has to say. Kennedy's on Kansas State as well. He knows better. He actually did one of those things where he flipped on heads and then he got, he was like, what am I doing? Take the rest of the way over.
I'm looking forward. I think BYU could get to the second weekend in March if they get the right draws. So.
Oh, hell yeah, they can.
Yeah. They've held their own. They've been a good addition to this league with their unique style. I'll tell you who else is unique. That's Hall of Fame Bets, because you can win bigger by betting smarter. This NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets, a sports analytics platform for parlays, props, and game lines. Research all NBA soccer with historical data. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft a more intelligent, data-driven parlay. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com. Code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with the Hall of Fame Bets. All righty. Here we go, baby.
Ooh.
Cincy, we talked about it. Cincinnati's losers of 3 in a row. They're at TCU. This was a fucking hell of a game when they played back in January. TCU actually controlled the whole game, gave it away at the very end. Cincinnati was able to win and cover for us in overtime. We were lucky as fuck. This is my classic, and the more and more we keep doing these Big 12 games, take the 5.5, lay the 6.5. The 5.5 is a bait to fucking to lay the points. I like Cincy here. I think Cincinnati's going to lead a majority of this game. I don't know if they're going to be able to hold on. I think these two teams are kind of carbon copies of one another, where they're both physically imposing, both want to rebound the shit out of the ball, fast, athletic. I think it's literally the same game as the first time they met. Cincinnati more desperate than TCU. TCU safely in the field. I think Cincy and Trevor makes a good point. Cincy's better on the road. So give me the Bearcats here. I think they're live to win the game, so I'll take the Bearcats here.
Yeah, Cincy's the one team in the Big 12 that's really been screwing with the home team system.
in Texas.
You know, they're not that great. And we talk about it all the time. Their game travels because it's not that great. And they focus on the small things like rebounding and defensive possessions. And I just think 5.5 might be too steep. I know this could be like a wind out of the sails game for Cincinnati, and TCU could win at home and kind of do it a little convincingly. I just don't know if, you know, the program of Cincinnati is that poor right now, where a loss that maybe bracketology wise hurts them. I don't think it's really going to affect too much of their road play, just for the same reason their game travels. I'll take the 5.5. Skyline Chili again.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I'll take the 5.5 as well. Cincy on the road. I mean, you said it best. They mess up that home system. They play close games. I don't know if they pull this one out. If they want to make March, they better figure out a way to pull this one out. But no, I'm taking the 5.5 as well. I think this is a good game. Comes down to whoever has the ball last, and we'll see what happens there. Wow. Kennedy's going Fort Worth.
Shocker. Right. To recap, Cincinnati's resume in the Big 12 on the road, won at BYU, lost at Baylor by 3. I think that line was 5.5. Mm-hmm. Lost at Kansas, that line was 7.5. They lost by 5. Lost at West Virginia, we were on that one. They were favored. They won in Lubbock in a desperate spot. That line was 5.5, just like this. And they won at UCF last Saturday. So, Cincy, we love them. We love them, especially as dogs on the road, back to the wall. Let's go Bearcats. Let's talk about the hottest team in the Big 12. That is the Oklahoma State Cowboys, baby. Dude, Mike Boynton does this every fucking year. Every year.
Yep.
They're winning tomorrow. This is the final game in Stillwater. They should have won in Norman 2 weeks ago. I know Oklahoma's off the bye, but right now I look at these two teams. This is a bad matchup for Oklahoma. The athletes, they're Oklahoma State's a young team, and they've gotten better throughout the year under Mike Boynton, which I knew they would. It's a shame that they buried themselves early in the year with losses to fucking Abilene Christian, Notre Dame, Southern Illinois, and the Bonnies. And then, of course, they start, 0-6 to start league play? I'm all over Oklahoma State. They're going to win the game outright. They Mike Boynton owns fucking Porter Moser. Ever since he's taken the Oklahoma job, I got to look up his record. He beat him 3 times last year. I think he beat him 2 out of 3 the other year. The only loss was one time Porter's first year, and then 2 weeks ago when Oklahoma was an 11-point favorite and they barely won the game. Give me the Cowboys. Oklahoma State, let's go. Guns up.
Yeah, this is a blind last bedlam revenge game. They already played earlier in the year in Norman. I'm taking the points with Oklahoma State. I'm probably playing the money line with Oklahoma State here. I just don't. This will obviously be the most packed and wild game in Stillwater. Not that is a very high bar set thus far, but I fully expect that place to be super rowdy for the Oklahoma game. Yeah. So I'll take the points. I think, you know, the issues that we talked about with Porter Moser and team kind of losing steam as the season goes on kind of seems to be coming to fruition, whereas Mike Boynton's team is building up steam, which is – like you said, that's kind of the typical thing. It seems like it starts too late every single year, but they're a tough team when you get to this point in time. And you know, 22-14 in Big 12 play after Valentine's Day, Mike Boynton with, besides Cade, you know, not a ton of talent, but still just winning games late in the season as he figures his team out. So we'll go Cowboys here.
I agree with everything you guys are saying, except one thing. I think Oklahoma is the more desperate team here. I think if Oklahoma is not careful, they could, next thing you know, start ending up winding up in the NIT themselves. We talked about it. Porter Moser, as the season goes on, he, you know, tends to struggle this time of year, but they want to make their last stamp in the Big 12. I think Oklahoma's a little, they got to figure things out in the season off well if they want to be dancing in March. I'm going to take OU here. I think Oklahoma beats Oklahoma State. I'll go 66-62.
All right.
And the coin's with me.
Boomer Sooner. Let's go Cowboys, Troy. We do. Hey, we just got lines on the other two games, but we'll talk about.
There we go.
I was going to say this hypothetical I saw for the college bowl games. I saw someone was posting about doing pods, but for bowl games where like the top four seeds play the highest seed of the six teams in their pod. So they had these bowl games matched up, and it was like Oklahoma was playing somebody, and in order for them to win as the highest seed, they needed both Oklahoma State and West Virginia to win their bowl games. And I was like, no fucking shot. One of those teams would totally lose on purpose just to keep Oklahoma out. Like, there's no way. Yeah, Oklahoma State would 100% lose on purpose as like the 18th ranked team in the country. Like, yeah, whatever. We're out of here.
Yeah, fuck them.
It was pretty cool to kind of make the bowl games worth it a little bit more, but
yeah,
they would have to do a little bit better on their seeding.
Here's Troy 7.5.
Yeah. Lay it.
It's bait. Yeah.
This bait. I think it's a bait to take Kansas. Or sorry, a bait to take Texas.
I agree.
Yeah.
It opened at 6.5, already been bet up to 7.5. Bill Self with the bye week, a rare bye week, more time to prepare. I think they found themselves in that second half in Oklahoma. They're gonna win out and they're gonna blow out Texas in the final game at the Fog. Give me the Jayhawks to put it on the horns down tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's bait. I think it's bait to take Texas. So I'm laying it. I think I would lay it all the way up to 9.5. And after that, I would be a little worried. But I do think Kansas kind of handles this one pretty easily.
Lay it. Simple as that. Except if you're Kennedy. So Kennedy's going to make it right for us. Kennedy's on Texas.
So he took Kansas too.
Mm-hmm.
He
took Texas.
Oh, he did. Awesome.
Yeah, he's helping us out. Because don't forget, Kennedy's goal is to go 500. He actually entered this day one game above 500. Yeah. So hey, coin's doing better than some of you in the chat. Watch out.
He's had a week. He's had a week to get these guys right, man. For a stretch run there, and it's 5 o'clock Central. That fog is going to be on fire for Texas. They're going to blow them. They're going to blow the doors off them just like Houston did last Saturday. Horns down. This game is interesting.
Dang, only 1.5? Shit.
Texas Tech is going to UCF. UCF is laying 1.5. And
bait.
If you remember, UCF, when they played in Lubbock, UCF was winning at halftime, kind of controlled the game. They're on a 4-game losing streak. And then you got Texas Tech with the miracle comeback. I like UCF here, man. They've been a pain in everybody's fucking ass down there at the bounce house. They were right there to beat Cincinnati, lost by 2. This is only their they've just got off 3 out of 4 on the road. They beat Oklahoma at home. They were in with Baylor the entire time. They beat West Virginia. They beat Kansas. UCF has almost kind of turned into like a system play at home. I think it's a bait to take Texas Tech. I think it's a good spot for the Shiny Knights here. And Texas Tech is not the same team away from Lubbock. And they're coming off an emotional win. And they got Texas on deck in Lubbock. So give me UCF all day here.
Yeah, do we think this line maybe flips?
Or are they going to – I don't think so. I think they're going to make – they're going to stand strong and say UCF's going to win the game. I think they're going to take all the Tech action they want here.
Because I would say, especially if it got in Tech's favor or anything like that, UCF would be an easy play or, you know, just a straight pick 'em. Texas Tech does like to, you know, play with their food regardless of if it's a high-scoring or low-scoring game. Everything is always pretty fucking close. There's no breakouts, but – I think I hated on the bounce house for so long that it became unstoppable. The bounce house is now definitely the system. I'm laying the points here with the Shiny Knights. They've been trouble down there in Orlando. I don't know. All the big boobies.
I agree. This is total bait here. Vegas isn't moving this line. UCF snaps their 4-game losing streak, wins one here. Still done a it is total trap spot. It's kind of like that Kansas State BYU line. Actually, I would say it's even more of a bait line than that line right there. So even Kennedy knows this is total He's on UCF as well.
Let's go. Let's go.
Four-way sweep.
UCF, the very, very shy.
We've actually done pretty well with our four-way sweeps. I think we have a winning record when we're all four on the same page.
I need to look. We'll look it up. This game's atrocious. The Mountaineers are going to Ames, Iowa. It's going to be cold as shit there. Iowa State's off the tough loss in Houston. Played on Big Monday. I'll side with the history of the series of always being a close game between these two. Iowa State wins. West Virginia covers. I'm not laying 18 with Iowa State. I'm not laying 18. So
don't worry, maybe, I am.
There you go. Maybe they blow the doors off us, but I'll side with the history of this series of always being a fucking close game, especially over the last 4 or 5 years.
Mac handicapped this one and then went against his own handicap 2 weeks ago. He said, you have to look at Iowa State at home, just like Houston at home. Houston beat the brakes off of West Virginia. Iowa State does the exact same thing here in Ames.
Yeah, so for some reason, this has always been the game where West Virginia. Yeah, it is. It's a screwed up game. It's the game that West Virginia is all of a sudden like, oh, we're going to Hilton, one of the hardest places to play. Let's play well. And with all that being said, my pick is Iowa State. So what? Who said that? No, Kennedy's flipping. I don't know who said that. Kennedy's on West Virginia. So
yeah, let's take Iowa State up to like -21.5.
It's West Virginia's money line. Let's go.
This go. Just, I don't know about that. This just kind of feels like that Texas game, man. Coming off.
This is my least confident pick on this card, everybody. So don't fucking flood my mentions with mm-hmm. West Virginia shit if they do get their doors blown off.
Come on, Chad. Where is Chad G?
Yeah, I need Chad to
Where's
say.
Where's Julio? What's Julio's take on this game?
Julio only comes when he has winning days. Then he
Julio might be in witness protection program. I have a feeling he's in some stuff.
All right, that's enough. That's enough analysis on this West Virginia fucking Iowa State. And TJ or Tyler does make a good point. We did beat the Iowa State Cyclones twice last year, baby. It got us to the dance. That was a hell of a win in there last year. So
it's a great win.
Yeah, let's go. Mountaineers are going to get it done outright again. Three in a row over the Cyclones. Let's go. Lock, dog. Lock.
This is easy.
Sick 'em. Give me the Bears.
Oh, I hate to do it because the smart play is probably locking Kansas at home at the Fog, but I'm locking Iowa State. They've got the biggest line. So
I'm going to lock UCF.
Shiny Knights,
baby. I like the Shiny Knights.
Dog.
Wait a second. Dog. Did you hear that?
I need a juicy dog.
Dog.
Who's Tibble's really dog? There's all these lines are tight other than Texas, and I'm not taking Texas. They're going to get fucking smacked.
I don't.
Give me Oklahoma State again. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Let's go, Mike Jordan. Let's go. Fuck Oklahoma. Beat them again.
Dog, Kansas State.
I like that.
Dog. Tagging. Baylor.
Baylor. I like Baylor, yeah. Too. All right, so for our money line, we can throw the three short dogs in there. Sorry, I can't talk. Baylor, K-State, and OK State.
Sure.
Are you all right with OK State, Rush? Would you not be shocked real. if Oklahoma State beat Oklahoma?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, it's a rivalry game, but we can do it.
It's the three home teams. Three home short dogs.
What, do you want to put West Virginia in there instead?
No.
No.
Don't throw them in there. I was thinking we could do Cincy. Maybe. I mean, I like the three home teams. It's three short home dogs.
Yeah, I don't mind putting Baylor.
You said Oklahoma was going to win by four. It wasn't like, oh, Oklahoma's going to beat their ass.
I told you I wouldn't be sure. Yeah. I just think Oklahoma's going to win by four. So, but no, let's do it.
All right, so we got Baylor.
So be smart and put Oklahoma State in there like plus 4.5.
What do you mean plus 4.5? You mean minus 4.5?
Make the odds worse.
Yeah, make your odds worse. Sell some juice.
No, you gotta take the money line.
Three-way parlay.
Or the money line dog parlay.
Three-way parlay.
We haven't got one right yet. Why start now?
Gotta make money parlay.
All right, Baylor plus one. I think FanDuel's the only one that's got the money lines out right now. Baylor plus 126. Fucking K-State's already up to 104, so that's barely even a dog at this point. And the Oklahoma State Cowboys are plus 115. It's a nice 9-1er. 9-1er. Get you a niner in there. All right, let's go. This thing's hidden. This one's hidden. I keep saying that. Who's going to let us down? It's going to be fucking
K-State. It's going to be K-State, yeah.
It's going to be K-State because we debated Baylor and Oklahoma State, and we all agreed too much on fucking K-State.
BYU's going to win by one. That's what's going to happen. They'll still cover, but yeah. Screw us in the
damn Mormons. All right, guys, it does it for another edition of the Big 12 College Experience. Troy, what you got going on the rest of the weekend?
Still a little too cold to be out on the real golf course, so hitting the simulator, but watching basketball. Caps are on a road swing, but they're starting to look okay. RIP TJ Oshie, could have been his last game ever. Hopefully his knee's okay, but that could be an issue. But it also could be $5.5 million that the Caps get to put on long-term injured reserve and could make a trade for somebody now with a little bit more money. But we'll see if they decide to make a push or not, if they think they can do anything in the playoffs.
Didn't he score? I saw a graphic, so I caught part of the game. Did he also score his 300th goal? Or did I misread the graphic?
I think he's got 300.
He's had a hell of a career.
Great career.
We talk hockey. Yeah, he's talk hockey on the Big 12 Experience.
He just got injured, and that was career game 994. He was 6 away from 1,000. I know he's gonna be working his ass off to get back, but I don't know who's gonna want to pay him what he's getting paid. I guess the knee could be all right. We haven't really heard anything yet, but
You never know. Sometimes it's worse than it looks, you know.
Oshie convert against the Canadians. He scored his 300th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it was. Okay.
All righty, Russ, what you got going on?
Yeah. Who knows? Wherever my wife tells me to go, that's what I got going on. Married life, baby.
Yeah,
get ready, Ryan.
Yeah, I got a wedding planner here in a little bit before this. Akron and who's Akron playing? Akron's playing Kent State. So we'll be back tonight. I think 11 o'clock Eastern because Colby's got to do something on VSiN. So a little bit later for the mega slate. So. Make sure you subscribe to the College Experience, subscribe to the Sports Gambling Podcast, subscribe to the Big 12. Come on, baby. We're going to be here all season long. Baseball's underway. Go check out the College Baseball Experience with Noah Bienick, a.k.a. the shitter. When he eats the wrong fucking thing, he's got a fucking turbo for the fucking John while I'm hosting. You guys, everybody needs to go check out that episode where I hosted and Noah disappeared for 20 minutes and had to take his shit. Oh, man, classic. And he didn't fall asleep, at least, I guess. So back-to-back weeks with our guy.
He might have.
He might have. No, he fucking tweeted about it. He goes, LOL, Max hosting the show now. While he was on the shitter, that fucking bastard. Unreal. I'm rambling on. Everybody have a great weekend. Cheers. Happy hour with the Big 12. We will see you tomorrow, and we are out of here.